We are getting into the final message in our series. The series is titled, Your Next Will Be Greater. This is number four, the fourth message. And specifically today, we're talking about the fact that your next will require faith. Okay? So your next will be greater, but your next will require faith. Now, our key verse that we've been reading is Haggai chapter 2, 7 to 9. And I'm going to read it again. God speaking through the prophet Haggai says in verse 7, I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations will come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So that has been our key verse throughout the series. And the Lord is very clearly telling his people, the next will be greater than the past, even though some of them couldn't believe it initially. Now, specifically today, we want to look at the fact that your next will require faith. Okay, we've talked about how God wants to lead you by his Holy Spirit into the next. It will require some faith. So once you know, faith will be required. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 7, Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Let's look at a couple of those verses. I'm not going to read them all, but a couple. Verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, and if you go down to verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. All right, faith is a believing or knowing that produces passionate, persistent action. Faith is not simply hearing something or knowing something. Faith is believing that produces action. If your next doesn't require some faith, I just want to say this boldly. If your next doesn't require any faith at all, it's probably not a Holy Spirit-led next. Now, why do I say that? Because God always leads you into something where he can get involved. If Holy Spirit's leading you, he's going to give you something that requires you to have faith and believe for more. All right? So know this, faith is a real substance, a believing and a knowing that produces persistent action. Sometimes I use this example for people. Let's just say you're here in the building, all sitting in chairs, and I tell you, there is a bomb under all your chairs that's going to go off in 10 seconds. Now, you can say, I believe you, but I will know who believes me by the people that run from the building. Okay, so truly believing produces action. It's not simply knowing and words. All right, so how do we have faith to step into our next? All right, I'm going to give you some points about how do we really have a true faith that helps us move to our next, which will be greater. Number one, really know that your next is Holy Spirit led. This is a foundation for having faith, knowing God is in it, knowing God has spoken it. Judges chapter 6 and 11 to 40. Now, obviously, we're not going to read the entire portion, but that is the story of Gideon. And you see, Gideon is in a time in Israel again where God's people once again fell away. They were now being, had the Midianites coming and continually causing problems and stealing their food and their harvest. And so Gideon is actually harvesting wheat, hiding to do it because he doesn't want it to get stolen. And a messenger comes to him and tells him, you're going to save Israel. And in verse 15, this is what he says. And he said to him, the messenger, Gideon speaking to the messenger, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it's you who speaks with me. Okay, two really cool things from this. First of all, Gideon is telling, my family's kind of a nobody family, and I'm a nobody in my nobody family. Well, how are you going to use me? God's answer, I'm going to be with you. There's a faith required that allows God to come in. I don't care who you are. If you think, oh, yeah, but you don't know what I've done in the past, I don't care. God says, if you're willing and obedient, he wants to use you because he wants to get involved and he will be glorified. And the second thing, Gideon needed a sign. He needed to know for sure that it was God speaking, because if he was going to risk his life and the lives of others, he wanted to know. And in verse 36 and 40, again, Gideon wanted to know. So the first portion there where he says, I need a sign, he brings out food to the messenger, obviously thinking it's a prophet, because in those days when a prophet gave a word, you would bless them back somehow. That was the thing to do. So he gave him food. When he put the food out, the messenger said, put it on a rock, and then he put his staff down. It turned into fire and disappeared, and the messenger disappeared, which Gideon knew, this is the angel of the Lord. And then he was afraid, oh no, I'm going to die. Of course, he didn't die. And God said, I want you to do more. And in verse 36 and 40, where I was heading, Gideon again asked God, okay, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, verse 37 now, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. And if there's dew on the fleece alone and it is dry on the ground, then I'll know that you'll save Israel by my hand. Okay, so Gideon, now he's got some more instruction. He says, God, I need a sign. All right? He said, I'm going to put some sheep's wool on the ground, and if there's dew on it, but not the ground, the ground's completely dry, I'll know you said it. So God does this, and then Gideon says, oh boy, I really want to be sure. Yeah, don't get angry with me, God, but let's do this again. And tomorrow, let the fleece be completely dry and the ground around it all wet. And again, God does it to confirm to him that it truly is God speaking. Hey, you need to be sure that you're sure God is in it. When you do that, faith is a sure thing. Have that foundation of knowing God spoke, God's in it, God wants it, God's directing it. So if you are unsure, get confirmation. Now, let me say really clearly, getting confirmation does not mean getting a lot of people to like what you're thinking about on social media, okay, to agree with your opinion. That is not confirmation. Getting true confirmation is asking wise people who you trust what they think about this direction you're feeling, okay? Ask the Lord in prayer first to confirm it, but then also ask people you trust, people with wisdom who are not afraid to tell you the truth when they need to. Okay, that's getting confirmation. The second thing you need to do if you're going to walk in faith into your next that God has, you need to begin speaking and talking about your next often. All right? So, you're sure that you're sure. Now you start speaking about it. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21 says, a man's belly will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. Wow. Here's a little side note. Mark 16 and 15 says, we are told to go and preach the gospel. The gospel is called good news. We're told to give that to the whole world. And Matthew 12, 36 and 37 says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Now, in Bible times, speaking was the number one form of communication. There was a bit of letter writing on the scrolls in Jesus' time. And before that, of course, Ten Commandments on stone. There was a bit of that, but mainly speaking was the form of communication. The last verse in the Matthew 12 portion, verse 37, says, by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. In other words, by the communication you give out, you will be justified or condemned. Can I say this to you? If you're a believer, what you're putting out on social media is your communication. Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Here's a little challenge for you. Go home, check your social media, Now, if you post on a daily basis, check back for 2 weeks and see if you have more about death or life. If you have things that build up or things that tear down, can I encourage you? Change it if it's not about life and building up. All right, that's a challenge. Proverbs 13 and verse 2 and 3 says, a man will eat good by the fruit of his mouth. He that keeps his mouth keeps his life. Are you willing to talk about your next? Do you believe it enough to talk about it? Mark 11, 12 to 24 is the portion of scripture where Jesus curses a fig tree, and the next morning the disciples see the fig tree dried up from the roots, dead. And Jesus teaches them about speaking with faith. Okay, verse 22 to 24. Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown in the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, that portion started out with have faith in God. In other words, you're sure that you're sure you know. Now you begin speaking it. Listen, if you don't believe enough about what God's telling you for your next to start talking about it, it will never become a reality for you. What do I mean by that? Let's just say you've got this feeling, boy, I feel like I should start a business, but I'm just going to keep that a secret between me and God, and when God wants it to happen, it will happen. It will never happen if that's how you choose to do it. If you are not believing enough to start talking about it with others around you, it won't happen. Okay, the third thing, to walk in faith into your next. You're sure that you're sure was the first. You begin speaking about it often. And the third thing, you take your first step into the next. 2 Kings 7, 3 to 7, one of my favorite Bible stories, is about the time in the kingdom of God. God's people were in a time of famine. It was great famine, so much so that people were eating manure, birds' dung, and they were eating, even one story, somebody eating another person's child. So terrible famine. And in this city, the gates were locked up because there was an enemy army surrounding that wanted to destroy them. But outside the city gates were four lepers. Now you see, in those days, the lepers were not allowed in the city because their skin disease might pass to others. So they survived by handouts from other people. They were beggars. And here were four lepers outside the gate, and they had this discussion. In verse 3, there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let's enter the city, well, the famine is in the city, and we'll die there. But if we sit here, we're going to die also. So, come, let's go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we live. If they kill us, we just die. So they have figured this out. And you know what? They have just a little bit of faith that maybe we can live. They have enough faith to talk about it and enough faith to take a step. In verse 5, so they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the armies of Syrians to hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said one to another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Now, this is an amazing miracle story, you see, because that was a huge army camp, and they had the plunder of all the places they'd been plundering. And there was food and gold and garments. The famine ended then. And eventually, they give the message to the city, and the people from the city come out, and there's great abundance, just as was prophesied earlier that it would come. But it would not have come without these four men taking a step of faith. These four men took a step of faith that delivered an entire city and made a prophecy come to pass that they didn't even know was spoken. I don't know what your next is, but God has something good and you need to take a first step. Because you see, when these four men got up and took a step, and my Bible says it was in the twilight. And as we read further down, when did the enemy army hear the sound of horses and chariots and a great army? In the twilight. When they took their first little steps, they must have been weak and tired. Those steps were probably small and they were weak. But when they took those steps, God came in and said, I see that faith. He came in and he turned their steps to sound like a mighty army. And deliverance came. A city locked up in fear of the enemy. And God says, take a step toward it in faith, and I'll defeat that enemy. Hey, your next needs you to take a first step. Do you need to save money? Start saving money. Do you need to take a course? Take a course. Do you need to schedule a meeting with someone who knows more than you? Schedule that meeting. Take the first step. Press into your next with passion and persistence. Listen, okay, here we go. Be sure that you're sure. Talk about it. Take the first step, then press in. Because some nexts take longer than others to be accomplished. Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 talk about Noah and his family building the ark. They pressed into that for 75 years approximately. Not just a couple of weekends, but an entire family building for 75 years, believing that something was going to happen. It would rain, and they'd never yet seen rain. That's faith. Remember, some nexts take longer than others. Once you begin, continue, be persistent. And finally, stepping into your next with faith, understand you will not do your next alone. Rely on the Lord and find people that God has put in your life for this next and get their help. Faith is not saying I'm going to do this by myself. Think of Noah. Who did he get? He got his family to help. Noah's the one who heard the vision, but he must have spoke it well because his boys and their wives all spent their lives helping him. Romans 12, 4 to 8 tells us that we are a body of believers and we need one another. Verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts and each has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. You see, your next cannot happen without connection. The Lord wants to connect you with others. He wants to bring you into places where you will make divine connections. This is an amazing thing, and I actually felt God speaking. He dropped in my spirit when I heard this connection. It was a word that came to me. While I was preparing this, I asked the Lord throughout my preparation, is there anything else you want to say? Is there something? And the word connection came. And I kept hearing connection. And I prayed in. I said, Lord, what do you mean? And he said, your next cannot happen without connection. Wow. I said, okay, well, I know, Holy Spirit, that always if you're dropping something into my spirit, it will line up with your word. What are some scriptures that clearly show this? And immediately stories from the Bible coming. Of course, Moses, divine connections. Moses was a baby who was supposed to be killed. He was a baby boy and they were all supposed to be killed, but his mom took him, put him in a little basket in the River Nile, and his sister was put there to watch him. Do you know what? I'm pretty sure she was put there to make sure he didn't get out in the current where he could die. But he ended up out in the current and floated down and came. And there bathing was someone from Pharaoh's house. A divine connection. He was adopted into Pharaoh's house by a divine connection. A current taking him and he had no say in it. Later, that would play a role in him coming back to see God's people set free. You see, because they knew he was from that household, and they didn't just throw a spear through him. They said, "We know who you are. Let's just see what really happens." All right, divine connections. You think of Esther and her divine connection. I don't know that she was really up for all that. She didn't really have a choice, though, did she? She was forced to go before the king. Now, it was maybe a high thing, and maybe part of what was going on, she was excited, maybe I'll be chosen. But it was not her ultimate decision she was taking. She was chosen, and there was a divine connection. And she also sees God's nation, God's people, protected and freed from a man who wanted to destroy them. Divine connection. Your next cannot happen without connection. You know, maybe there's some today, you feel like there is a current carrying you into all kinds of chaos and trouble, and you're thinking, where is God? God's setting you up for a divine connection. Get ready for it. Get ready for it. Get your eyes open and get ready. Look around you in the middle of your chaos and say, who is God wanting me to connect with? He loves you. He loves you more than you can imagine. You're going to need faith to enter your next. But remember, God would not be leading you where he's leading you if he did not think you could do it. With his help and those he has and will connect you with. I want to finish here today by just praying blessing of faith over you. Let's pray. Lord, we pray right now that you would pour faith upon us. Lord, that you would cause us to hear your word, because your word says hearing is what brings us faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, Lord, we say, cause us to take time and to fill ourselves with your word. Cause us to hear it and to live it in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, build people. Lord, I thank you for those that feel like this is an end. God says, no, there's a next. I just want to speak right now. There's some people, you're listening to this, you feel like you're at an end, a dead end. God has a next. There's no such thing as a dead end for a Christian. What do you mean? Maybe there is. There is no such thing as a dead end for a Christian. And you say, well, what about death? Death is not a dead end. Death is a beginning. You will go from this life to a life in heaven. There's no dead end. I don't know where you are right now. You're feeling hopeless, like there's no next. God says, there's a next for you. Accept it. Believe it. Get excited, because here it comes. Hey, we love you so much. God loves you more than you can imagine. God bless you so much.